to Easter. Easter Sunday is like no other day in the year. It's the day every year where we celebrate good triumphing over evil. It's the day when we celebrate life triumphing over death. The impossible becoming possible. It's the day that reminds us more than any other day that God is for you, not against you. That when Jesus rose from the dead, he completed what he set out to do. What did he set out to do? He set out to defeat sin and to defeat death. To provide the way for you and I to be set free from the power of sin, as we've already said, the things that we do wrong, and to have relationship, not with someone who's dead, but someone who is very much alive. Jesus is alive. Amen? So what is required of us to have that living relationship with the living God? Well, it's quite simply to accept what Jesus has done. It's to believe that he died for you. It's to believe that you know that you're in need of forgiveness. It's to believe that he died and rose again, and therefore defeating those sin and death and inviting you to a relationship with him. Romans 10 verse 9 to 11 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who puts their trust in him will never be put to shame. That is a promise, not just for the past, that's a promise for now, for you. If you believe in your heart and you proclaim it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Easter Sunday is the best time ever to respond to Jesus. The best time ever to respond to Jesus. Today we celebrate what he has done, completing the work. Whether you made that decision today, or whether you made that decision 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, it's a decision that changes your life. It changes your life for the better. It changes the way that we live our lives, the way that we make decisions, the way we treat people. It changes our dreams that we have for our lives. It gives us a hope and it gives us a future. On Easter Sunday, we often reflect on the stories of Mary and Peter and John, and rightly so, because we can relate to how that feels, or how that felt, and how they felt in those moments. But today, just for a few minutes, I want us to focus on the tomb. To focus on the empty tomb. And what does it teach you and I this Resurrection Sunday? If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn with me just for a couple of moments to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 1 to 8. It says these words, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Amen. Amen. May God just bless his word just for a couple of moments as we share these insights together. The empty tomb. What does the empty tomb prove this morning on this Resurrection Sunday? If you're making notes, this is the first point I want to make. Jesus is right about what he said about himself, that he is the Son of God. What Jesus said, he proved. Jesus always said, since the beginning of his ministry, that he was the Son of God. But in order to prove that, he needed to back up his claims. The biggest claim he had was that he would rise from the dead. Jesus says in John 2, verse 19 to 21, Jesus answered them, the Pharisees, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he'd spoken about was his body. See, in the world's eyes, Jesus died as a rebel who'd made a mockery of God's law. As far as they were concerned, it was good riddance to a troublemaker. Never to be heard again, their lives could go on as normal, they could do their rituals, they could do whatever they wanted, knowing that everything was okay. As long as Jesus stayed in the tomb, everything that Jesus had said beforehand, and everything that the disciples would do, would come to nothing, because he never was raised from the dead. Yet Jesus' resurrection from the dead and the empty tomb proved exactly who he said that he was. The King of the Jews, the King of the universe and of this world, the Son of God who came to save humanity from their sin. The empty tomb proves that Jesus is who he said he is, the King of the universe. Amen? Second point, and this is a really, really good one. Really, really good one. The empty tomb proves that death couldn't hold him. Say that again. The empty tomb proves that death couldn't hold him. Come on, let's have a bit of joy, yeah? Couldn't hold him, not at all. See, Jesus was placed in the tomb. A large stone was placed in front of the entrance. Now, most commentators would agree that the stone that was placed in front of the tomb would have been between 1 and 2 tons. If you want to know what that might be in modern standards, that would generally be something like a little car. A car, the weight of a car with the weight of that stone. Now, unless you are the world's strongest man, it's not going to be easy for you as a mere man or a mere woman to move that stone. The stone was then sealed by the authority of Rome. What does that mean? What it means is a seal. If that seal had been broken by anybody trying to steal his body, because that's what they thought the Romans thought would happen, that's what the Pharisees thought would happen, if it was broken and they were found out to be that they'd broken the seal, they would be put to death. That's what would happen. You don't break a Roman seal because there would be consequences, devastating consequences. And if that wasn't enough, if it wasn't the fact that the stone was kind of really heavy, if it wasn't the fact that actually if they did get to the point where they rolled the stone away, they'd have to break the seal as well, and that would mean certain death. There was just a little problem of two soldiers, or some soldiers standing guard outside. Now these soldiers wouldn't have been people that, you know, that they'd be easy pushovers. They would be trained to stand and fight and train to guard what they were told to, because you know what? If they didn't, they too would be in trouble because they wouldn't be doing their job. So you've got three things that are stopping Jesus from rising from the dead. You know, three things. Nobody could steal the body. They couldn't send out. It had to be. So the empty tomb proves that Jesus is alive. Matthew 27, verse 65, 66 says, and this is what the pilot said to the guards. "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. So Jesus' body was on complete lockdown. We know what lockdown is like, don't we? Because we had that a couple of years ago. Lockdown, you couldn't even go out of your house. It was horrible. It was, you wouldn't go out. If he didn't go out, he got told off. All those different things. So any attempts to steal his body would have been foolish. The only way that then Jesus could have got out was if he did the impossible, that he came back to life and he broke out from the inside. That is the only way Jesus could be alive and come out and everything could be done. That's the only way that Jesus' body could be taken out of the tomb and for him to get out. There was no other way. He did just that. Despite all the security, in the early morning of the third day, we find the impossible indeed has taken place. The stones rolled away, angels are proclaiming Jesus being alive, and the soldiers become like dead men. They see the angel of the Lord, and suddenly they are struck with fear and they're down on their faces. The angel, it's only the angel that could move the stone away. And when the stone was rolled away, what was there? Just a cloth. No one inside. Jesus not only had become alive again, but he disappeared through the tomb without breaking the seal, without doing any of that. Jesus had done the impossible. Let's read the verses again from Matthew 28, verse 2 to 6. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said he would. Come and see the place where he lay." Death couldn't hold Jesus. The empty tomb proves nothing is impossible for God. This should give you and I confidence today. If Jesus can defeat death, he can defeat the sin, temptation, or seasons of crisis that seek to keep you imprisoned in your own tomb. The lying, the cheating, the anger, the gossip, the pride, the lust, that could be a thing of the past. No longer do you have to be chained to your past or not living your best life now because you can't kick a particular sin or habit. Because Jesus rose from the dead, sin no longer has dominion over you. You can live in the freedom that he has bought from his death and his resurrection. Romans 6:14 says, For sin no longer will be your master because you're under the law. I'm not under the law, but you're under grace. You and I this morning, we're under grace. We've been forgiven. The question is, will we continue to believe the lies of the enemy and think sin is still your master, even on this Resurrection Sunday? Or will you live in the freedom that Jesus' death and resurrection has brought? Jesus' resurrection gives us confidence to be able to choose life today. Choose life. Jesus is alive. The tomb proves that death could not hold Jesus. Thirdly and finally, as I round it up, the empty tomb seals our future victory over death. Sin and death has no power over Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." The thought of death should not scare us this morning. Why? Because just as Jesus rose from the dead, if we believe in him, if we accept what he's done, we too will have victory over death. Simply, you and I will be able to spend eternity with Jesus, living, reigning, and ruling with him. Jesus confirms this when he says in John 11, 23 to 25, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Our eternity with Jesus is secured. And I tell you this morning that that's the best news of all. The best news of all is that you have a future hope. Not just now where you have Jesus in you and you're going through and you're seeking to live for him, to become like him. One day you'll be like him and you will be in his presence forevermore. So in conclusion, the empty tomb confirms that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God. The empty tomb confirms that sin and death has no power over Jesus, which means it doesn't have power over you and me as well. Therefore, you and I can live in freedom. And finally, the empty tomb seals our future eternity with Jesus. Friends, on this Resurrection Sunday, the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. Jesus is no longer in that tomb. He is reigning on high with God the Father. Jesus is alive, and that should fill you and I with the greatest of confidence. Shall we pray together?